world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail.
RR Season 7. Yeah, we're still here.
Hello, welcome to our Season 7, Episode 15.
Brian at PMC, an RR story. I thought it would be funny if it was like your solo movie. Like, we're starting to be like the MCU now, we all get solo movies, except me. I couldn't find anybody to pick up my contract. I'm getting recast by Don Cheadle.
You're Bobby and Hunter.
Oh, poor Bobby and Hunter. They just kind of got stuck in the void, apparently. Because there was, like, questions at Comic-Con. They're like, so now that the show didn't get picked up, are they coming back? And they're just like, no one sees the wizard! Like, wait, what? Bring him back. Classic Jess. Oh, Brian's got his bag of stuff ready. You know how it is.
These are just oyster crackers. I'm hungry.
Started this off professional already.
Okay. So,
the one-ups are pretty much going to be your thing, because you're just going to tell stories, and then I would be like, I found a penny. Like, that would be me. If Kevin shows up, I'm sure he'll have a story about, like, going to the store or, like, paying his taxes or something, but until then.
So Morphicon happened.
Did it.
I urge everyone to check out my vlogs. That
shameless self-promotion.
Don't really detail much of anything because I'm a horrible vlogger. It's like way after the fact and I just record and was like, so that happened. Meanwhile, people are going, I wanted to see that happen. I'm like, well, too bad. You should have been there. But no, man, it was a lightning fast weekend for sure. It always is, and it always sucks immediately afterwards. I am trying to find fun things to do.
Like, go to Subway and close your eyes, think about your sandwich, and pretend it's Pasadena.
Go to Subway and pretend. I'm like, when I leave here, I could go see all my friends. But no. The only thing waiting for me outside Subway was my car. My car's not my friend. Thursday was a mission, let me tell you. So my plane left at 6:05. And so I had to be at the airport.
Starting right from the beginning, minute by minute. It's like 24.
I had to be at the airport by 4-ish. Give or take, just to make sure everything was okay. And so thankfully we recorded a day early so that I could relax a bit. But I still panicked anyway. And so I was like packing things and working on things until like the last minute. And so I had woken up at about 10 and 11 o'clock that morning, Wednesday morning. And so needless to say, I didn't get any sleep. We just left from the house to the airport, and I was like, oh, I'll sleep on the plane. Well, that never happened either. And so I got to California, like, I was probably at the Sheraton by about 10:30-ish or so, give or take. And, of course, they didn't have a room yet because the rooms aren't supposed to be available until 3. So I just had to find things to do. I found Zarin Zephyr, and we hung out with a bunch of people in the little bar area of the Sheraton.
Did that guy hit on you again?
No, he was gone. I didn't see
probably
him.
Probably got fired for sexual harassment.
Yes, I was about to say that.
No, I was talking about Zero. No, I'm just kidding.
You want to talk about someone sexually harassing me? Go hit up Zarin.
You know how it is.
I'm apparently Shaken Chipotle. That's my new name.
All right.
We were having a conversation in Mr. S's hotel room about how people can't spell my goddamn name.
And people thought it was Chicken Chipotle instead of Shukun Shinobi?
No, that's because Victoria gives everyone really stupid nicknames.
Okay.
And we were talking about all the different names that I've gotten over the years from people being not being able to spell Shukun Shinobi. And that just happened.
So let's not forget the classic Fudo the Talking Ninja. This Ninja Storm fan.
This random Ninja Storm fan. You're not the brightest one.
Nope.
And there was just a lot of meeting people. You would have hated it.
I know. I was thinking, like, when I was watching your progress, I was like, you know, me not going is like a blessing because you got to spread your little social butterfly wings. Because like 90% of the people you hang out with, I hate with like a passion, and like I'm sure they hate me. So it's like I would have like either deterred you or just would have been like by myself listening to the song all by myself, like sniffing Andros in an elevator. So let's go to this thing, see this person. I'm going home.
Basically, yes. I was here, there, and everywhere this weekend, and it was a very social butterfly experiment, to say the very least. We ended it, like, dinner every night got progressively bigger. Dinner started from like what do you got? Stop it. I don't know what you got, but I don't like it. Whatever it is. It's mine. Dinner started on Thursday.
It sound like you've had like a one long dinner for 4 days.
it just never ended. Mr. S, his son's friend, Jack, me, Robert and Victoria. And then by the final day, dinner was 21 people.
And at least 90% of them are in a blood feud with me.
It was pretty magical. Though, I think a lot of those people hate Will, and Will was at dinner, so
Will was, like, the only person there that didn't hate me. You included. Like, you were just done with me by that point. It would have just been me and Will, like, trying to dodge the tomatoes.
So he survived dinner somehow, so I think he would have been fine.
He did upload a vlog, so I know he's alive.
I gave him a hug as I was walking back towards the Sheridan, so I know he survived at least that far.
He just got ambushed by, like, all of them afterwards, and they uploaded the vlog to avoid suspicion.
But no, it was, like, I don't really have any, like, amazing stories or funny stories or anything. It was just a hell of a lot of fun.
You mean you didn't even trespass? 0 out of 10. You gotta trespass at least one more for con.
I got to tell that story a couple times, though, because they had that stupid thing on Thursday where they did the guided tour to the alleyway, and apparently there was a pile of poop in the middle of the alleyway.
That's what happens when you visit an alley. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. I'm sorry. I know it was a filming location, but for fuck's sake, man.
Because I think BZ went and he showed me a picture of this pile of shit that was in the middle of the alleyway. And it was amazing.
It had a little flag on it that said JDF was here. Fitness year 2016.
They were like, this is actually remnants from when Tommy shit himself when you saw Rita Repulsa.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
And they're like, oh, we went to the command center. It was really cool. I was like, well, it's not as cool as when we trespassed at the command center. I'm like, psh.
You're not even criminals. 0 out of 10. Didn't even do sort of donuts in the parking lot and make Falling Skies jokes that Kevin had no idea what we were talking about. Didn't even drive by Dunder Mifflin. What kind of guided tour is this?
The worst one. But yeah, there was a lot of making fun of people who went on that because that was really funny. We went to the VIP meet and greet on Friday night, and that was so dumb.
What was it like then?
Okay, so picture about like maybe 12-ish. At least that was when we were there. Apparently more showed up later. I don't know when it actually ended, but we got bored and left. So picture like 12 or so actors in a room with about, or an area at least. There was a room and there was an outside of like 200 socially awkward nerds. That was basically the VIP meet and greet.
Oh, God.
Because the ones who were too chicken to go up to the actors were just kind of standing around, and the ones that weren't wouldn't leave the actors alone. Oh, so Jesus. You couldn't get up to the actors if you wanted to anyway. And by the time we got there, all the hors d'oeuvres were gone, so there was no food.
Fuck that, nice.
It was basically just the 4 to 5 of us sitting around complaining on how we really wanted to go get pizza. That was my VIP meet and greet experience.
And just wanting pizza.
Spoilers.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I wanted a giant pizza?
We were going to go up to Sullivan Warden's, ask him if he knew where to get a good pizza. But Pasadena location's close by midnight, and so we were kind of boned about the pizza. We got pizza the next day for lunch, though, so it ended up being okay. We just had to wait a while. But yeah, the VIP meet and greet was just total shit. That was stupid.
Those always seem like, from what I've heard or seen pictures of it, they always seem really awkward and kind of, well, yeah, awkward, just I guess that sums it up.
Basically, yeah. It was
kind of like the gold breakfast always seems like a political thing where, like, the candidates come by to talk to you for a minute about their cause and then walk away. Like, that's what it always seemed like.
Like, apparently the gold breakfast, like, they don't even walk around anymore. Like,
oh, they just have assigned tables?
You just have an assigned table, and
oh.
So, my friend Chris and, Hassan sat next to
Chris
each other.
Was there? From HJU?
I know way too many Chris's. I know like 3 or 4 Chris's just in this fandom alone. That doesn't even include like the additional 3 that I know like in my actual normal everyday life.
Well, everybody hates Chris. But you know how it is.
Everyone hates Chris so much they just name their kids Chris, so there's too many of them.
Revenge.
But no, they sat at a table and they were greeted by a person they didn't know. So on Sunday when they got back for the breakfast, we had to go around the autograph section of the exhibit hall to figure out who it was they sat with. Turns out it was Babu.
I thought maybe it was one of the staff members, like, because they put themselves as guests, so you never know. It's kind of like when that guy, with the guy that directed the Turbo movie, and I had no idea who he was. And Ben was on, it was on Ben's autograph list, and I had to, like, get Kevin to legitimize me at the table by talking to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, here, Kevin, just say useless trivia at him. Like, I have no idea who he is. Can I get your autograph, stranger? You could literally be anybody.
They're looking around and like, oh, there's Jason Font and Dan Southworth and everything, and they got stuck with Babu.
It would have been funny if, like, they came back and told you they didn't know who it was, and then, like, you went and looked, and it was someone really recognizable. Like, it was, like, Austin St. John or something. Like, it was that guy. That's ASJ. What are you talking about? You know, Odor versus Crayons, Guy Fieri. What if it was actually just Guy Fieri there? Classic. That's out of bounds.
What else? Saturday was just a bunch of lines. Like, yep, it was better. Just a repeat of always.
It was sounds about awful. Right.
Stood in line to get the toy wristband. Stood in line to get the Dino Charge autograph wristband. Stood in line to get into the panel hall for the Saban panel. And then stood in line to get the Dino Charge autographs. And then first we stood in line to get our shirts, because guess what? They didn't have any of the shirts when you got your ticket.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
They're not here yet. they'll be here tomorrow. And so they put up a sign that said the shirts will be here at 3. And so 3 o'clock rolls around, and everyone's lining up to get their shirts. The shirts get there. They start opening up the boxes. They individually fold all of them and put them on a shelf. And so, like, 4 o'clock, it's pretty close to 4 o'clock, and that's when the Dino Charge signing started. And so we're like, well, we should probably go get in that line and not this bullshit line. And so we did, and then after the Dino Charge line, we got back into the shirt line, which was pretty much gone at that point. And so I go up there, and I get handed 2 shirts, and they're like, the 2 hoodies and shirt will be in later.
For fuck's sake!
These are the only ones we got right now.
As they go.
I'm like, are you guys kidding me? So I had to go up there 3 different times. One to get my badge, one to get 2 shirts, and then one to get the shirt and the 2 hoodies. I'm like, you guys are the worst people.
Yeah, they really are.
So that was a mess. But I got.
I really enjoyed my virtual seating at the panel, though. It was kind of nicer than my seats last year.
Were you watching, like, the Facebook stream, or?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was, like, sort of closest up to the front.
I was sitting, like, 2 seats behind the Facebook guy.
Okay, so. Because, like, I remember our seats last time were. Like, kind of, I guess I would say in the middle, but then, like, it's okay, but then when the cast is announced, like, everybody stands up, so you're just kind of catching glimpses of, like, boots and, like, hands.
Yeah, and, like, that shit happens this time, too.
You basically don't get to see them until you see the Twitter feed after, so it was basically the same thing, if not better, because I could watch, like, How I Met Your Mother when they were busy riding Chip's dick during the beginning of that panel, and when they were, like, waiting for everyone to fill the panel, because it was, like, 30 minutes late. So,
that was the worst.
It was kind of funny, though, right at the moment when Yoshi and his brother hugged, they shut the stream off. Like, the guy was like, all right, I'm done here, and he just left for his job. Like, I'm clocking out. Like, okay.
Speaking of, though, like, that was probably easily, like, the best moment of the entire con. Like,
I was so worried, because he opened the envelope and collapsed. I'm like, fuck, they cast him again. He's going to be blue again. I can't take this anymore. I was like, I was done. I was like, I'm going home. I'm going home. There's no need for this, really. So, thank God. Well,
it was like they had told him that he hadn't gotten the part, and so he was really, like, pissed off about it, because he was like, oh, I have to read some dude's name that's not my brother after he was been trying for, like, since Megaforce or something to get on the damn show. And so, like, they were all in on it, and then just to see the reaction was really adorable. But,
like, I was confused and then got subtweeted because of my confusion, because, like, I think it was Riley's actor. It was one of them that tweeted, like, 20 minutes before the panel about how they got to meet the Ninja Steel cast before. And then, like, I'm like, wait, so why is he surprised then? And then someone's like, oh, someone's making fun of him, faking surprising. I'm like, I was just curious. I mean, Jesus. Am I going to get screen grabbed again? For fuck's sake, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, because I know that I'm pretty sure they did actually meet them, but I don't remember if they had someone, like, fake.
A fake blue? That would be cool.
As a fake blue?
Because someone said, like, it was a secret. I'm like, well, but if they introduced him and they had 4 out of the 5 and, like, Yoshi knew his brother auditioned, I would be suspicious. Like, you know, even if he... So, I don't know. Was there anybody in a cowboy hat there? Was Star Ninja there?
We looked. We didn't see anybody. Mostly because we were all looking for a cowboy hat. Didn't see any.
He was probably dressed in Buzz Lightyear gear to throw everyone off.
Dressed in his best Buzz Lightyear cosplay.
I bet he's there, though. You never know.
But... What the fuck?
Sorry, derailed destroy my commentary.
It's probably about it. I mean, I want to talk about, like, the reveals and stuff, but we'll do that in the news, which will be in, like, 2 minutes, but...
Coming up at the top of the hour. even though it's like quarters hell. So like at the quarter, three quarters, I don't know how quarters work really.
I don't really got anything else yet. So I had an absolutely fantastic time, and I'm still upset that it's over. But it's time to get back to normal life, I guess.
And I guess
normal life sucks.
This was like the first Morphicon I actually got to keep up with Twitter, because every Morphicon I was like, I'm going to tweet more, and then I forgot to tweet, so I got to see it from the outside. It's kind of obnoxious, to be honest. it really is.
I was barely on Twitter, so I don't know what it's like.
So, I guess segue to Morphicon news.
Though I will say Twitter was obnoxious. One part that I'll get to in a little bit.
With the news?
But,
okay.
So I guess toys is mostly what was... I mean, the Ninja Steel cast was there and all that, but there's not much to say.
Yeah, it's just like, we don't know who they are, really. It's like, hey, look,
other
bunch
than,
of people's faces.
Other than Pink being Rangers familiar falling. With...
That's really about it.
You got that right.
And the Yellow Ranger always looks like he's doing that CW smolder in every shot I've seen him in. It's kind of funny. Someone pointed out that he looks like Smart Guy.
Oh my god, he does.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he does. It's the hair, I think.
And the Red Ranger kind of looks like the kid of Tyler and the Gold Ranger's name. I'm blanking out at the moment. Ivan.
Yeah, I could see that.
I got nothing.
So I don't know. Well, the only bit like that's not toy related to come out of all that is Zircon's name got changed to Galvanax, and Baron Nero from Tokuger is going to be in it.
The coolest thing about that is if we use more, since we're doing villain figures, we might get some figures for the Tokuger villains, which is like one of the things. The top two things I'm disappointed about from us not doing Tokuger is no Orange Ranger figure and like no figures for those villains. Of course, we're probably going to stop doing them after we did all the Fug Kyoryuger villains.
No, Greg from Bandai said that they were planning on doing just as many villains for Ninja Steel as they did with Dino Charge, so.
Classic Greg.
There's a
you know
chance.
How it is. Name drop. Might as well just said you know Will Smith. You know Greg from Bandai? What?
Yeah, I got to talk with Greg.
Oh my gosh. Just got wet. Too far.
I'm interested in seeing. I mean, from what I've heard, like they said that we're not adapting Tokuger, but we might use one villain from it. And I find one villain hard to believe.
Yeah.
Especially given Tokuger's catalog of really amazing villain designs.
Yeah.
A lot of which could work with this whole, like, game show contest sort of thing that they got going on. So I could definitely see more happening. I really want them to use Zed's... monster
yeah.
form.
Like, I want a lot. Schwartz figure too.
I think Schwartz would make it a really good villain for the series, just based on what they're doing with these villains. Like, he's just like a militant alien dude that wants to try to win the game show.
Yeah, it's a really weird premise. And like, if they have a sort of almost same-ish approach to the Geodra, like all of Nero's monsters could be the Tokuger monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a thing. There's like a lot of people saying or like wishing that we'll now use essentially Rokugo's story, but for Star Ninja. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know how to feel about that, because part of me thinks it's neat, but it's basically just like copying, but just like stretching it across the aisle. Like, so I don't know how to feel about it. Like, the only connection is they both wear hats. Like, I think it could be cool, but at the same time, it's just, like, copying under another name, so I don't know. But, so long as art doesn't go, yeah, every 5 seconds, we're good.
I think it would be really cool if they did that. You are absolutely correct. I still think it would be cool. It would be kind of neat if they kind of took that premise, but changed a little bit more to it, but...
That's why it's confusing, because it's like it's an original idea, but also a copy at the same time. It's like, I don't know how to feel about this, really. I mean, it's not even like an idea presented, it's just a fan theory, but...
Yeah. I think that was about it for that, so, like...
We got to see that Dino Charge trailer! It was brand new!
I never watched the first one. Is that the same one that we've been seeing? I never watched
that was,
it.
That was the one I made that image off of with, like, Dad and Lieutenant and all that stuff. Okay. Because I was trying to remember if, like, any of the ones we'd seen at previous Saban panels were ones that were already released. Because I feel like at Super Mega Forces, we did get newish footage. I could just be remembering it wrong, though.
Yeah, I don't remember at all.
So. It just seems so unexciting. And, like, everyone was like, whoa! I'm like, listen, everyone react and pretend they haven't seen it before. It's like pretending you hadn't seen the Elite Ninja Toys. I didn't
look at
look at
everyone plus. Trying to pretend that they care. Because it's like you go out onto the show floor and everyone's just kind of like, oh, Dino Charge, whatever. You go into the panel and everyone's like, woo! I'm like, whoa,
just a bunch
guys.
Of woo girls. Did they give out shots at the door? What the hell's happening now?
So I guess tackling the Ninja Steel toys first. On actual display there was the five Ranger figures, three of which I already own.
We all do. Wow, American. It's my favorite part.
Really the Megazord, and then the Frog Gun, the Karkuri Hengen, which is now the Morpher, but we'll get to that, and the sword. Just kind of a very quick summation of everything. The Megazord looks pretty good. Because of how the shurikens are working now, they don't have to make that shuriken compatible with anything. So it doesn't have to be foam like the other ones, and it can be really thin. So it doesn't look like a shuriken has a fucking top hat on like he always did. It actually looks like a normal like helmet now, which is nice. I dig that. A lot. It can still make the dragon mode. If that was even a question that it would or wouldn't. Everyone's like, oh, is Shinobi Maru going to be able to make an arm? Of course it is. It has to make an arm for all of the other combinations of the show. Plus, he's got a fist in his crotch. So.
It's kind of unavoidable, really, when we think about it.
The molds are a little bit wonky in some locations. The dog kind of looks demonic a little bit. And the dump truck looks even worse than it did in a ninja, but other
than that,
the dump
truck
looks
demonic.
It's a like cheapened version of Shurikenjin. I mean, everyone's like, "Oh, it looks terrible." I'm like, "Well, what the hell are you expecting?"
It like, basically it looks like fine. What I expected it to.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm not surprised or disheartened by any of this. It looks pretty much exactly what I thought it was going to.
Like the only thing that quote-unquote bothered me at all was I felt like there was a lot of space between Shinobi Maru, like, sitting in the little chair. Like, there was just a lot of blank space around it, but that was, like, the only thing I noticed. And it could have been the angle of the photo I saw.
I'll take and that could have been a trick. Pictures.
I just don't know it.
But, yeah, so, like, yeah, there's a pretty decent amount of space there.
Yeah, that was, like,
I would have to look at. I would have to look at Shurikenjin again to see exactly how much difference there is. His head looks a lot better. Like, it's just a better fucking head, but...
Ninja Steel Megazord gives good head. You know how it is. Too far!
The auxiliary Zords are pretty much going to be the same as in the Ninja. They're all going to come with alternate helmets for the Megazords, so no one has to worry about, oh, they're going to fuck that up somehow. No, they're not. It'll be fine.
Calm Ruined! Down.
The sword, actually, other than the handle being kind of small to me, but it could, like, feel different in person just looking at it, but... It's got a retractable blade. So basically, kind of take the Ichibanto and then take the blade and, like, double it. And that's pretty much our toy.
Yeah, I like the looks of it. It looks a little bit longer.
Yeah, other than the really tiny
buttons.
Kind of
a size queen, to be honest. Too far. I'm sorry.
I just let you do your thing.
I killed the room with size queen.
You do you.
God.
But yeah, the buttons on the blade I don't think do anything anymore. I think they're just there because the prop has them there, really.
Yeah.
And obviously there's no Japanese writing on the blade either. But it doesn't look bad at all. I'm, like, pretty optimistic for it. The frog gun, I don't know what the hell he did to that thing.
I described it as, like, our version looks like what happened to the dinosaurs and We're Back when they reverted to non-intelligent. And then when they became friendly again, that's the actual frog gun. That's what it looks like to me.
It will fire the shurikens, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it looks very angry.
It's funny because that's like a thing that probably pisses people off because it's not accurate, but because I already own it once, I'm like, oh, cool, I have something that looks different now when I buy
yeah,
it again.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought process, too. I'm like, oh, cool, it looks different. Oh, cool, it fires the shurikens. Neat. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, it's not accurate. I'm like, well, I got this one. Gamma, 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 gamma.
Oh, God. What's happening?
And the Karakuri Hengen is now the Morpher, and it's a really weird thing to do.
I didn't see that coming at all.
I didn't either, because, like, we saw the display case first. I'm like, oh, here's the sword, here's the sidearm weapon, here's the other sidearm weapon. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. And then at the Bandai panel, they're like, here's the DX Ninja Steel Blade, and here's the Ninja Star Blade, and here's the Ninja Star Morpher. And I'm like, wait, hold, whoa, back up, huh?
Newness throughout the line. I'm sorry. I don't know why that phrase just seems so funny. Like, it seems like they're trying to, like, their marketing wanted to reassure you somehow, but, like, they last minute came up with a slogan. I don't know. It just struck me as funny.
And so it's weird. I know it's going to have the claw mode and the sword mode. Because it has the claw mode, I imagine it still has the bow mode, because it's literally just extending those out a little bit further. But it wasn't advertised at the panel, but that's neither here nor there. It's an interesting move, but one from a marketing standpoint, I understand. Because they said that the deluxe sword toy and the deluxe morpher toy are the two biggest roleplay sellers that they constantly have.
Oh, so they want to double their profits.
And by making the sword the morpher, they're combining their two biggest toys in the one. And
oh,
it basically cuts it in half.
I see.
And so they're like, well, let's take this toy that sold like shit in Japan and make this the morpher so kids want it. And so now kids are going to buy this toy they probably wouldn't have otherwise, as well as the cool-ass sword. And they're like, boom,
though.
Money. So it absolutely 100% like, makes total sense from a marketing standpoint. So,
like, I guess that's a good way to try to sell the Kakuri Hengen, but if they were going to go that route, there's part of me then that would want them to just come up with a new morpher, which could have been cool, and that's three things to sell, but then again, it's another thing to print. So,
yeah.
It's kind of... So, but it's... I like when they do different things, so I like it for that aspect, but I didn't even think about too much about the marketing aspect. But it's an interesting move I didn't expect, and I thought it was funny because, like, back with all the speculation of when and if we were going to adapt Choryuger, there was so much noise about we're never going to use it, the morpher, the gun is the morpher because it's too violent, and then we pass on using the morpher for the sword, which is arguably, like, considered less violent. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, I thought it was really funny because, like, it was like the two most noisy things the fandom talked about in terms of adapting was that they're never going to use the gun and Samurai's too Japanese to adapt. And it's just really funny that ended up happening.
So far, Saban's is just like every single time they're just like, nope, fuck you.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see like what the noises are like and what like how they use it in the show to morph.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting for sure, and I guess it gives me a reason to uncover my Kokiri hanging out of that pile of dust that's behind my old desktop at my parents' house.
I picked mine up today. I'm like, oh, it's you.
You're relevant now. Hello, it's me. How are you?
So the shurikens themselves aren't gonna look like that. The blades are gonna be made out of foam because, like, their play pattern is basically whip these at your friends. And I totally support kid violence, so I'm game. But the final product is gonna look a lot closer to, like, the actual shuriken toys. Like, the foam isn't gonna be total shit. The props that they had with them were very last minute because the product samples didn't get to them in time from China. So that's literally just, like, craft foam that they cut out.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Classic Morphicon.
So
it's a metaphor
and
for
those,
the convention organization.
Pretty much, yeah. Those are gonna work the same way as, like, the Dino Chargers do with the pins and buttons, which I think is something I brought up months ago when we were talking about hypothetical toy lines. So hashtag nailed it. So, like, I think the sword and the morpher are both gonna have readers to some degree to change the sounds that they make. So if you put in reds, it'll be a different sound than when you put in yellows. Kind of like the Dino Charge Morpher and stuff. So
yeah.
I was really happy when Greg said that because I was like, oh, hey, I called that. Fuck yeah. Go me.
High five, Greg. You're so famous, Greg. Everyone knows you.
But I think the coolest thing to come out of this is actually the vehicle line. It's really neat because they basically took the whole, like, Ninja Star aspect of this show and just, like, totally just rolled completely with it. And so you have these, like, vehicles that, like, are Ninja Stars, and then you, like, hit a button on the side and it'll pop up or, like, fold out or whatever to become, like, a helicopter or a motorcycle and stuff. I think that's really fucking fun.
That is cool.
I love that a lot. It looks neat. The footage that they showed. Yeah, well, I don't think that's ever going to happen. So you're just going to get them and chuck them against the wall. Throw them in the fire. Make kindling out of them. I don't know. but the vehicles themselves look really cool. The transformation's really fluid, easy. Like, one, two steps. And I think those are going to be really cool to play with. There's like this big cannon thing that folds out from an even bigger shuriken, and I don't know what it does, but they're all supposed to have compatibility with the figures and the figures and the morpher, and not the morpher, the Megazord and all that fun
Nudist
stuff.
Throughout the line, you know how it is.
Nudist throughout the line. Newness throughout the line because Ninja's toy line was absolute shit. We had to come up with half of this ourselves.
Trains aren't popular.
Nope. Hashtag where's Tokijer. And the football chastity belt is also a thing that was there. I don't know what that is, because it wasn't in the slideshow except for that newness throughout the line thing. Like, it wasn't shown off there. So I don't know if it's, like, an Armored Might figure, or if it's... I don't know what the fuck it is. I don't have the slightest fuck clue what that is.
You don't know how it is.
I do not know how it is. What the fuck? The desire for the Poissandra figure was neither here nor there, but they did announce that at the very beginning of the Bandai panel, and I think what was most interesting about it is they said that it's, like, the first in an entry... that wasn't even English. What the fuck am I saying? It was like the first step in basically kind of a line dedicated to like filling out the lines that never finished. So like Poissandra's like the only villain we didn't, like main villain that we didn't get in Dino Charger's line, and there's been villains in the past that we never got, or certain like ranger figures in the past we never got. And like they want to try to partner with Toys R Us and stuff to make like these exclusive figures, because the turnout for the Ranger keys like 2 years after that fucking line just never goddamn finishes still continued to sell, and so Toys R Us is like, hey, this isn't the current line, but this shit's still selling. So now we can get like other cool shit that's not Ranger keys, like figures that we never got, or maybe like a Zord or something that we might have ever gotten or something. And so that's really interesting. Like, I'm the completest me myself, I could really care either way about whether a Poissandra figure was made. The completest nature of me really wants her because she's the only main villain that we don't have a figure of. But
that's like the only reason I want it. It's like the fandom noise kind of ruined her for me, honestly.
And well, she's a shit character anyway, but
she's insufferable.
I will buy her. Wow,
God. Buy her.
I will buy her and just gladly pretend that she's Candarilla, who I hated a little bit less. Keep smiling, you know.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm interested to see where that goes and whether like it's gonna go like really far back to try to fill in holes. Like maybe even. I mean, I know it's what they're trying to do with the Legacy line, but give us some of the Six Rangers and the Action Hero scale that they never did during Super Mega Force.
That would be nice. Watch us actually be able to get, like, figures of Six Rangers and whatnot we never got from this in Action Hero, and then the other one gets canceled. That's probably what's going to be happening.
Probably.
I can sense it already. I'll buy both, because, yes.
I'll buy both, because that's our life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's see, what else was in the panel? There was a lot of, like, Mighty Morphin shit. Like, nesting dolls.
Yeah. Bunch of, like, niche little collectible things.
Famous nesting dolls. And statues. The statues arguably do look cool, but they're probably going to be way too out of my price range for me to care. But for the Legacy figures, Wave 2 is confirmed. Convealed. to be Mighty Morphin Pink, Mighty Morphin Blue, Mighty Morphin Black, In Space Red, and In Space Yellow. While Wave 3 is Mighty Morphin Yellow, Mighty Morphin White, and then In Space Black, Blue, and Pink. So all 7 Mighty Morphin will be out. The Core 3 Ninja Storm will be out, and the Core 5 In Space will be out. Providing it doesn't get canned by then. Zio is the next series that they want to do, with all 6 of them being released between 2 waves in fall 2017. There's still 2 spots in each wave that haven't been announced yet, because they're like, well, we want to hear from you on what season you want to do. And everyone's like, oh, Psycho Rangers and this and that. Like, literally every single season was, like, shouted in that panel room by the time it was all said and done, because we spent, like, 5 minutes on this goddamn subject.
I would have been like, Dragon Knight! just put one in there. Where's my General Zaviac?
It was really funny, because I think it was Friday, early on Friday, I keep name-dropping Greg, but he's seriously the only one, like... he's, like, the only person that works at Bandai that actually, like, publicly says anything. So, but I was talking to him there about the Ninja Steel toys at first, and, like, that's where I found out that they aren't gonna look that bad. And how the sword works, and the pins, and buttons and all that jazz. But we're talking about the Legacy figures. I was with a small group of people, and he said, what season would you want to see next? I just yelled Go Busters.
Oh yeah, I remember you tweeting about this.
And like he said, because it's not tied to a specific season, if there was a big enough demand, it is something that they could actually do because it's within their legal boundaries. Because of how the contracts work and stuff. He says it's a very far stretch because it's not actually Power Rangers, but it is something that they could feasibly do if there was enough demand. I'm like, I'll start the hype train. Let's do it.
Start a petition now. Whips out clipboard.
And he said he'd really like to see them because he got hired into Bandai around the time that GoBusters was ending. And he really likes GoBusters.
Oh, snap.
And so
fuck yeah, Greg. Really, Team Greg.
He was really excited to start working at Bandai and working with the Power Rangers series because at that point we were like in the middle of like Megaforce and Super Megaforce. He was like, oh cool, the next thing that we're going to do is going to be GoBusters. And then they skipped it for Kyoryuger and he got really pissed off. And so he's like, it's something I would really, really like to see as a GoBusters fan. I'm like, well, you're cool, Greg.
Well, then they could just do the whole, before there was Power Rangers, there was Super Sentai, to Lost Season. And just put it on there. You know how it is.
Heck yeah.
They could do Tokyuger's too. It'd be so easy. It's basically just those blank figures they love with a number on it. Like, it's just easy. But, like, so I'm going to be seriously pissed if our Goober fandom, like, shouts out the, you know, Lightspeed Rescue, Psycho Ranger bullshit. I mean, don't get me wrong, Psycho Ranger figures would be cool, but then they listen to them and we never finish Ninja Storm. Because I know it's a core team of three, but it's like, fucking A, just finish it. You're not done yet.
That was my thing because, like, Psycho Rangers was probably, like, the biggest thing said in the entire hall that day. And I'm like, I would honestly love Psycho Ranger figures because we never fucking got any. But I hate the fact that the Psycho Rangers would take spots that go to actual legitimate Rangers.
Like the Ninja Storm Rangers who need to be finished.
So I'm like, okay, do this, Bandai. Do Psycho Rangers, but make it like an exclusive set for Toys R Us or something that doesn't factor into the actual wave.
That would be nice.
So that we can keep getting our normal-ass Ranger figures, but we can still get Psycho figures. That's a win-win.
Yeah.
But
I just hate like the fans suggesting all this and like pushing out when all you have to do is just, you can even start a new season, do everyone's favorite all of a sudden Lightspeed Rescue and make it half Lightspeed and half finish Ninja Storm, but just finish it. It bothers me because granted we got closer with Figure Arts, but we still didn't finish Figure Arts, and it's like I just want an updated Samurai figure. Even though the Super Legends one's pretty good, I still just finish it for fuck's sake, man. I'm getting mad now, getting worked up. It's kind of like with the Legacy line. It's like, we're so close to being done with the first three seasons, and everyone's always like, Zio! And, like, the same people that are, like, were, like, throwing a bitch fit that we started season two with Tiger Zord want them to, like, start Zio with the Gold Ranger stuff. It's, like, so hypocritical. It pisses me off.
Mm.
Why are you starting with Tommy? What's the first gold Legacy Zio item? Obviously, Pyramidus and the Gold Staff. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Get out of here. Get the L off of our land. Take your Psycho figures and you put them in your Pyramidus and you get off my land. Just give me Cam, for fuck's sake. Cam lives matter. Especially Cyber Cam lives. Yo. That's what he would say. While wearing a beanie.
Fucking Cyber Cam was the best. Cam's the best. He was. Fuck everyone.
I don't think there's any, like, right Cam hatred, so...
the one part that made me hate Twitter that day was that it was a really weird place to announce it, but at the end of the Bandai panel they announced RangerNation.com, which is actually something that like I've known about for like a year and a half now.
Oh, Brian, you never told me.
They took our bios for the Power Force, for the Power Ranger website, and then they updated the website and got rid of the Power Force section, which honestly is perfectly fine, whatever. But they said, well, the reason we never put your bios up is because we're working on RangerNation.com, and it's going to be a more fandom-driven website, and all your profiles are going to be there. then it just kind of died. We never heard anything about it
for until now. And a half.
Until the end of this panel, like, oh yeah, this is happening. And so, like, all it is basically kind of like a mini forum with, like, reviews and news about Power Rangers. It's basically, like, a Bandai and Saban-driven normal-ass Power Ranger website, basically. And on one hand, that's great, because with it being company-driven, like, all this fandom bullshit that happens all the time won't be there. And I'm like, okay, great. That would be wonderful. But, and of course, the fandom being the fandom, you have to either bitch about something or freak out about something.
They're taking our sights and our guns!
Yeah, yes, it was the fan site equivalent of they're taking our guns. And so you have all these people that own websites and stuff that are like, oh, they're gonna take down our websites. This is like competition, and they're gonna make us shut down. Why would they make you shut down? They just want their own web space. They can't make you shut down. Like,
there was somebody that said that they were going to shut down the podcast. I'm like, you know how many podcasts there are about, like, actual franchises?
They're going to shut down, what, our podcast?
Yeah, like, well, fine. We'll just talk about Flareon and Pokemon. No big deal.
it was ridiculous. I'm just like, I'm sitting there and just shaking my head. I'm like, guys, there's been Power Ranger fan sites since 1994, like, probably, whenever, like, the internet was a thing that could happen.
History.
I'm like, y'all need to calm the fuck down. And of course, here they go. They're taking our guns.
The only, I love absolutely that analogy. Only,
that's perfect.
The only, like, thing that I find annoying about it at all is I just hate, which just spreads out in general, but, like, I don't know who started the whole insert fandom here nation. I don't know, like, who started it. Like, it had to be somebody, but it's just obnoxious.
At this point, I've accepted it. I still don't like it. I think there's a ton of cooler names that could have been picked.
For real, but it's just, like, I don't know where it started.
Because I hate the term nation because it's, like, it's a worldwide brand, and I feel like nation is such a secular term.
Excluding the world, we're building a wall. This is just getting political now. Building a ranger wall. Just
Saban is Trump confirmed.
I knew it.
Donald Trump, Haim Saban. It's almost the same exact name.
They could be twins, really, when we think about it.
Absolutely.
But which is really funny, because isn't he, like, publicly supported Hillary Clinton or something like that?
I think so.
Oh, this is funny. Hashtag election 2016 coverage on RR. Saban was almost his vice president. Trump Saban.
Oh, God. The coolest thing to probably come out of the entire show, I think, was the announcement of Legacy Power Sword. And I freaked out a little bit. Not gonna lie, we were setting up Mr. S's booth, and like, a clear shot from that booth was the display case that was in. Of course, it was from, like, the back, and so we're setting
check
up.
Out the back.
And I just kind of look over, and I see this giant ass sword in a display case, and Guy. As you know him.
Yeah. His name's not Jack anymore.
Was standing there with me. I look over and I'm like, Jack, is that a power sword in that fucking display case? He's like, I think so. And, like, I think at that point it might have been on Twitter already, but we were busy setting up, so I hadn't actually looked at Twitter. And so, like, I freak out and I run over there.
Like, do the target run, the same run, knocking people over.
I stare at it, and I mean, I love the Power Sword design, and I've wanted, like, a 1-to-1 scale of that, like, weapon for, like, ever, and so to finally, like, have an official toy of one and not, like, some incredibly expensive, like, prop replica or something like that. So to actually see when that would be able to make noise and, like, have heft to it, and it is great. Now, I mean, the one on display was definitely a really early prototype. It was rough around the edges and didn't have that same sort of, like, look to it that, like, Saba or the Dragon Dagger and stuff have, because it was such an early prototype. But
yeah.
I have no
but knowing
doubt
it will.
By the time that gets released, it's going to be an absolutely gorgeous piece. And
yeah, because so both excited. The Dragon Dagger and Saba are amazing. So, I saw it on some random guy, I didn't even get his name, posted on Facebook Rangers. I just went on Facebook and all of a sudden it's like, saw this. I'm like looking around like almost like looking around me physically like, why has no one posted this yet? Because I was just on Twitter and I didn't see anything and I just posted it. I'm like, here's the thing. I'm like, that was probably that I can think of like the only surprise out of the convention that I can think of, because everything else was like on a checklist of things I knew would happen. Ninja Steel toys, Ninja Steel cast, more legacy figures. So
it looks really nice.
Yeah,
like
that's pretty cool.
It like I said, it's a very early prototype. They expect the final version to be out by fall of 2017. The problem is that, like, that's a big-ass box. Like, that's a, like, an FX lightsaber-sized box that would be in. And retailers aren't too fond of boxes that big. And so, like, they're being urged to make it to where, like, you would plug the blade into the base of the sword.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, they don't want to do that. They want to make it one solid piece right out of the box.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, we're working our ass off to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, because we want this to be one piece right out of the box. And I'm like, okay, you do it. And they're like, obviously no price yet, but they're trying to figure out how to construct it to where it's still has heft and looks nice, but isn't like $1 billion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you guys figured it out with Saba and the Dragon Dagger, so I have faith that you'll figure it out with this one.
Yeah, this one.
Classic. Just hurry up, because I really want it.
Fall 2017. Shia LaBeouf's wedding dress line launches then. We know that. The Kevin James James Bond reboot. I mean, all of this stuff's happening. We know the future. Grizzle's going to take off. We're going to be able to ride like iPad skateboards. I mean...
I like their phones. They have pretty wicked phones.
Khaleesi's gonna marry Jack Sparrow in the finale of Game of Thrones. Hashtag Meryl. When you marry Jack Sparrow, it's called a Meryl. Classic.
I think that was most of everything. If I forgot anything, I don't really care.
How about that movie news?
Insert cricket chirps here.
There's a movie. You know what I was
okay.
thinking about?
Here's the extent of the movie at Morphicon. They had the figures on display. One slide of the movie figures at the Bandai panel. And that booth where you got to take a picture and turn yourself into a movie poster. There you go.
Like, I didn't expect there to be a trailer or anything, because that honestly would have been a terrible move to, like... It would have been, like, talking to a wall. You need to do it at a place where you're going to get a bigger audience. But I feel like there should have been a little something at Morphicon. And honestly, about the convention in general in terms of news, it was pretty basically what I was expecting, and I was sort of expecting a little more of a surprise just because... All the promotion around it was like, it's going to be historic, and it was like the most hype I'd ever seen for one. And like, really, it was, you know,
oh, yeah.
Paint by numbers.
I knew not to believe any of that shit, honestly.
Yeah. But, well, the only reason I sort of bought it a little bit was because the movie, so I was thinking maybe it'll be some sort of little surprise. Like, I thought the movie cast might show up, honestly. Not maybe Bryan Cranston, but maybe the, which would have been a shitty, like, surprise to keep. Because, like, if I knew the movie cast was going to be there, I might have tried to go. But anyway,
yeah.
But like in regards to just the trailer in general, not even about Morphicon, I was thinking about it because everyone's like, where's the trailer? Where's the trailer? And I was thinking, it's actually really weird they haven't done a teaser yet, like a 30-second thing. Like, most movies, including, like, the way, way big ones, before they even do a trailer, will do some sort of teaser that could be just as simple as, like, a couple scenes and, like, a title card and, like, a tiny score. And I'm surprised they haven't done that, because I heard that, like, they're really working on it, but it would be very easy to put together a 30-second little teaser that just featured footage, like, minimal amounts of footage of the civilians, because you don't have to add any effects to that. And it would be a good way to... It would have been perfect for Comic-Con to, like, promote it, get the word out there, and whet people's appetites, but still be able to work on the trailer with your effects and everything. It's just... Because most major movies will release a teaser before the trailer, and the fact that we haven't done that, unless it's all this hype and we're just going to get a teaser and then we have to wait for the actual trailer. But it does seem weird we haven't even gotten a teaser for it yet.
Yeah, I was... If anything happened at PMC, I was expecting a really weak teaser or, like, a Megazord reveal or something that was later shared on Snapchat or Instagram or whatever. Like,
I thought it was going to be the Morpher later. Or something.
I just wanted, like, one toy or one, like, Megazord or, like you said, a 30-second teaser. Nothing substantial, but just some presence. Like, it was, like, literally, other than those three things I listed, there was zero movie presence at all at this thing, and it just felt really stupid. I mean, this thing's right around the corner, and we still know so little about it, and that's really worrisome.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing right now except the same information we've known for a while. I mean, there was, other than the, like, the power coin reveal, there was pretty much nothing at Comic-Con either.
No.
And I understand, like, they've pretty much said that, like, New York Comic-Con is going to be their big debut thing. That's still, like, 2 months away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that's soonish, but that's not that soon. A long time when, like, you're trying to promote a movie that comes out in March. And let me tell you, I've got a coin that has a date on the back of it, and a shirt that has a date on the back of it, and I think a lanyard with the date on it. They can't change the date now. They're set.
That's They're a done. Trifecta right there.
So, I don't know. It was, that was, I think, the most disappointing thing of PMC, and I don't blame Saban or Bandai or the PMC unorganized people. It's 100% Lionsgate, and it's really obnoxious because I don't know where they got their idea of how promotion works.
Yeah, it's weird. Even saving it for New York Comic Con, that's like, it's bigger, but it's like second tier to Comic Con. Like, if the movie was coming out fall next year, then I could see waiting for New York Comic Con to show a teaser and then debuting a trailer later or doing something big at the next Comic Con, but skipping Comic Con is like, stupid.
Yeah, I mean, there was a big presence at Comic-Con. They did the interviews and they had that big booth set up, but there wasn't anything, like, new. There wasn't a trailer playing or anything like that. It was all stuff we already knew and, like, the coins and helmets on display, and that was it. It's like, okay, whatever.
It's like, and they get lost in the shuffle then, too, because after the first day, because it was just like, oh, hey, here is basically a clearer look at information you already knew. And then everyone else started rolling out their trailers and new information. And then I honestly, like, no joke, until Sunday forgot about the stuff they showed because I was so overwhelmed with everything else that was being shown from, like, Marvel and DC and everything. And it's like, if they would have shown something, they could have still been in the news cycle. Mm-hmm. But they lost it.
And it's like, literally, like even the things they showed at Comic-Con weren't really new.
Yeah, it was just, like, basically clear. It's, like, basically getting clearer scans. Like, we got to see the physical helmets. We didn't even really get any decent tidbits of information from panels or interviews or anything. So.
And it sucks because, like, we're at the Bandai panel, and people were like, well, can you see anything more about movie toys? It's like, well, we want to share a whole bunch of stuff about movie toys, but they won't let us.
That's dumb.
They won't let us was basically, like, the theme of why there's no movie stuff at PMC, and it was really obnoxious.
It is. I mean, at least, like you said, a Megazord or like a Morpher or something would have been cool to reveal there, because it's not a trailer or anything. It's just kind of a fun little thing to show. Even a weapon, just, maybe?
Yeah, just something to see that was new. And then
a Rita figure?
And then share it on Instagram or whatever, like 3 hours after the reveal at PMC or something.
And just a cutout of Elizabeth Banks? Doesn't even have to be from this movie. Could just be from Zack and Miri, just all of a sudden. Anything?
I don't know. It was really obnoxious, but...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, well.
It is what it is. Thanks, Lionsgate.
Now watch New York Comic Con. I have anything else. We're waiting
New York Comic Con goes by. Nothing happens.
We're waiting for Wizard World so-and-so or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Movie gets canceled. It's done. It just gets canceled.
It's going to become lost footage like the lost pilot. So, was that everything?
That's about that. There was, I think, like a new trailer for the Heart and Mock movies, but that's whatever. SIC Ryugen got announced.
Oh, yeah. I think I might get that one.
That's pretty cool.
And finally, Type Triteron, now that we're almost done with Ghost. We're weeks away from the finale of its successor, and we finally got Triteron.
It doesn't come out until January or something.
Jesus.
I think that's the longest turnaround rate for a final form.
That's really weird. And it's an exclusive, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... Is that the first time that's happened? I think it is.
Yeah.
Because Gaim's wasn't... Kiwami wasn't... Infinity wasn't... I'm like, I don't know why, I'm having a hard time counting backwards in writer's series, just like doing the alphabet backwards. But yeah, that's weird. What was there? There was a third one in there. It was a Vegan, Trideron, and Oyster Crackers. That's what it was. I don't remember what the third one was, but there's a third one. Some nonsense.
What are we talking about?
Oh, there was like a third figure, like, because there was like SIC... Ryugen, Triteron, and I feel like there's a third thing announced too. Deep Spectre.
Yeah, Deep Spectre. Deep 2.
Figure Arts Deep 2, they're starting the Fairly Odd Parents line. Yeah, I think that's it for Tokyo News.
Yeah.
It was like this big noise of news, but really there wasn't all that much news, really.
Yeah, that about sums it up pretty good, I think.
And
now it's time for superhero time.
Does it have to be though?
All right, Geodude was about
Yellow and World fighting because their personalities clash. Classic.
Oh yeah.
And
they hate each other duo.
And then they're like, oh, we get along now, and they make progress, and then at the end it's all thrown away for a gag. It was it was literally just like the episode, I don't remember if it was right before this one or the one like two before, but where they're like, oh man, he got over some of his self-doubt. Nope, gag at the end.
Nope,
I hate
gag.
That. I hate that so much. Like, it's not like I really loved the quote-unquote progress made between the two of them or anything, but I hate when they do try to focus on some sort of problem and then fix it and then throw away the progress for a stupid toku gag at the end. It's just, it makes it seem like it was all meaningless. It like reminds me of when you watch like a sitcom or like a cartoon sitcom like The Simpsons or The Family Guy or something, and it's just there's no consequence to each episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so
there's no consequence to each episode basically describes Geodude right now.
Yeah.
Like, the characters aren't really progressing anywhere. I think the world is starting to kind of be more tolerable because they're doing the gag less. but that's not really a progression in character, because yeah. I mean, with Toku, like, these little gag parts of characters eventually die out anyway, like pretty much almost all the time. So it's this weird situation, like, none of the characters are really going anywhere, and, like, I use this analogy with Jeff earlier. It's like, instead of, like, the show, like, progressing, or the show, like, veering off course, the show's just kind of spinning around in a circle, going nowhere.
Pretty much it. And they're spinning around in a circle and left that bird plot behind. They gotta wait till it's time for the left. Dance.
They left Kaiza Bird. He's gone. They're like, oh, we need to find him to get to Other Piece. And then the world showed up and they forgot.
What were you doing? Something about feathers? I don't know. Beaks? Beaks? That sounds familiar. You know what it kind of reminds me of? And I kind of hate to say it, but it reminds me of Ninja, where... in between when they decided to have a plot for an episode, it was almost like it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. It was like you could go 12 episodes with not even a hint of a mention at the plot, and then all of a sudden it would be relevant again for an episode, and then you would continue again with it not being relevant. And I hate that JoJo's doing that too.
Yeah, that definitely sums it up, and that's kind of something I brought about when I was talking to him too. Like, it's a lot like New Ninja. I enjoy it more because I like the characters more than any of the characters in New Ninja by a lot.
Well, they aren't doing that Forze laugh, this is funny bit.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying it a lot more than Ninja, but it reminds, in terms of pacing and stuff, it does remind me a lot of that, and it's really troubling. Like I said, the only saving grace right now is that I love these characters and I love the toys. And that's not to say I didn't like Ninja's toys, but I like JoJo's a lot more than I like Ninja's.
Yeah.
So that's about all it's got going for it right now. And I mean, this was 25 or something, I think. 24, yeah. Maybe. And they got to do something.
Yeah.
Cause
and unfortunately, we're coming to an end now, but summer is usually a drought period.
Yeah. So hopefully after the summer drought, it can kind of kick up a little bit. God, I hate bringing this up all the time, but Sentai, and to an extent Rider doesn't get hit by it as hard usually. I know this isn't how Japan works, and it's never going to be how Japan works, but they got to cut the show at some point. Like...
Oh, you mean like the numbers?
Yeah.
Episodes?
Because, like, this just, like you said, the summer drought, it constantly happens to where, like, the beginning of the show is moderately interesting because they're setting a few things up, and then summer drought hits, and there's, like, probably 3 months of absolute just nonsense episodes, and then they'll pick something back up again afterwards, and... It's like, I would rather see a nicely paced 32 episode show than to see this 49 episode show or whatever and have half of it be insufferable crap.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you do something like the summer drought, it's like, by the time the show gets good again, I don't care.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was a shorter show... that, like, started kind of like how we do our seasons. Like, if it started in, like, September and ran until, like, April or whatever, and then was off for the summer and then started again and was a more evenly paced, enjoyable show, I would enjoy this a hell of a lot more than I am now. I don't know if the little kids just have more, patience with things or what it is about the way that they do things, but it's just a really weird situation that I'm kind of tired of. And it, like I said, it happens with Sentai more than it does Rider. But you can get away with it sometimes. And I think, like, the benefit of GoBusters was that instead of having, like, a summer drought, it just kind of, like, did a big finale arc and then started something new.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to kind of set up a story and then dropping it for the summer before picking it back up again. It, like, finished a story before the summer hit. And then kind of started a few little things during the summer and then kicked off again afterwards. And it was a format that was a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, that really stupid. Did work.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It kind of also like what Drive did in the second half where
right.
I kept, when they started a storyline, I kept thinking, oh, this is going to last this amount of time. But then they kept wrapping it up and there was like 3 or 4 little mini storylines in the second half. And it would be almost better to just do that. You can make it part of a one larger story, but have them be individual pieces instead of trying to do one larger story and stretching out the middle. Mm-hmm. And I agree that I would rather have a summer vacation, like for normal shows, even though granted I don't miss Dino Charge, but I would rather not have it than be forced to watch shitty episodes during the summer, because then watching the shitty episodes makes it feel like homework. So it's like, when a new episode pops up, I get that same feeling in my stomach as when I remembered I had a paper to write. So, and I also agree with something you tweeted about a while back about how Sentai's kind of fallen into the same logic of a lot of cartoons we have here about kids can't handle a story.
Yeah.
Because Sentai's really been in that sort of drought, which is unfortunate. I think it's an unfortunate line of thinking in any country. And I hate when you get in these discussions when people will use the it's a kid show defense, because that's no excuse, because there's so many beloved shows in the past and now that can be enjoyed by all ages at right now when you're watching it and later, and I think that's what everyone should strive for. And I hate that logic that kids can't enjoy a story, because it's not like as quote-unquote adults now we were just made adults. We were kids, so we did have a perspective. And when I was little, personally, things with story was what would intrigue me. It was what had me coming back. If I found a random episode and there was some sort of plot going on I was curious about, I would be more inclined to check out that show than if I were just to see a random episode about a trip to the beach or something.
Right.
So, it really is more recently, because, I mean, Sentai's never been like perfect for like its entire run, but recently it has gotten much more barren and much goofier. And you always hope it's like going to be better around the corner. Like, I'm hoping that JoJo will have that Tokuger thing where like the last quarter is just good stuff. But like, yeah. I'm not banking on that, because I was hoping the same thing for Ghost, that around the 20s it was going to pull a Drive and all of a sudden find focus, and it didn't happen. So I feel like by hoping Juojur's going to follow Tokuger's method, that I'm setting myself up for disappointment, because it might end up being like Ghost and just meandering for the rest of its life. And you can't even count on it getting a PR adaption, so you can at least get more toys out of it, because Judlin might decide animals aren't popular. Statistics shows that people aren't visiting zoos anymore. What are you even talking about, Chip? Like, if he says animals aren't popular, I'm done. What kid doesn't like animals? I mean, I like animals and I'm an adult. I'm not even really an adult, really. I'm not even sure what I am. I'm some sort of mutant hybrid.
I'm just a mess, honestly.
Really, that describes it. Like, it's like that little subtitle when Ben was on Joan Calamezzo's show that said human disaster. That's me. It's like God spilled a person. I want to like Toku again. I do. I want to sit down and be able to look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm in a very similar boat, because this is a franchise, like, I mean, between Rider and Sentai, that I have a huge passion for, and I love it, and I want to always have that feeling for it. But right now, it's really not there. Ultraman Orb is the only thing keeping me going right now. And Georgia's toy Holy line, shit. I guess. What?
Sorry, you just, like, lagged for a second, and it was, like, the only. It was hilarious. Holy
thing.
Shit, it was,
good
like,
thing.
I wish the mic could have caught it. Holy crap. Oh, that was good. Sorry.
I have no idea where it was, but, yeah, it sucks.
Well, and, you know, I need to catch up on it, and it's not like I'm not watching it because I was bored with it. It's just I haven't had motivation to watch it, but Amazon brought that feeling back that I haven't had since Gaim, where I'm enjoying it on the same level as I'm enjoying like the other TV shows I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just remember our Gaim discussions were fantastic because that was the first time in years that I would be thinking about a toku when it wasn't like now when I'm talking about it or when I was watching it. Like, now I'll just, you know, I'm only thinking about it when we're talking about it, when I'm being snarky on Twitter, and when I'm watching it. But then I just, like, leave it in the corner of my brain. And I miss, like, just sitting there thinking about Gaim and or any of the shows, and I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because when it's good, it can be good. There's something unique about the genre that you can like, and even the humor and the quirkiness can be unique, and it can be charming and funny, but stuff like the Ninja's doing and that Ghost will do is just so unfunny, and it's off-putting. Oh, Toku, what happened to you?
That being said, I did watch another episode of Amazon's on the plane.
Oh, snap. Was it good? Or did they go downhill on episode 5? Did they jump the shark all of a sudden?
No, it was really good.
Good. I need to get back to it because I caught up on all the movies except the Chaser movie. I need to see the Ninja movie was god awful. Spoilers. Don't watch it if you. It was terrible. Really.
I did already.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the audience. I know you watched it already.
Oh.
Ninja versus Tokyuger was okay. It was actually kind of nice to see the Tokyugers again. I feel like the Ninjas weren't entirely obnoxious. I was kind of bitter that they got a normal team up where they just kind of focused on the dynamic of the two teams and the poor Go Busters got ran over by a bunch of old dinosaurs, literally.
Old gal dinosaurs.
It bothers me because it's like the team up movies are your last chance to see the cast together. Really. And it's like, because one or two of them might return down the line if they do some sort of stupid team up nonsense. But like this is it's the last setting you're gonna see them together in their element. And it was like unfortunately we had the GoBusters Returns movie, which was just amazing stuff. So that did remind me of a tidbit of news. They're doing some sort of nonsense Sentai returning character facial expression Tyson or something.
Yeah, part of the Blu-ray specials. It's nothing to be taken seriously, basically.
Yeah, so I'm not really that excited. Is that what the set photos were about from like seeing Marvelous or whatever?
I don't think so.
Or is that something
separate? I think that's part of the show.
That's my fault.
They're supposed to be doing.
I'm sorry.
What?
No, I tweeted that. Thank God they haven't brought anybody back in the show last week. So I'm sorry.
I think it's just a special that they're doing for like the 2000th episode of Sentai or something. Apparently that's happening during this show, and it's kind of like those episodes of O's where they were doing that like Rider 500th episode or whatever the hell they did. 1000th episode maybe? I don't remember. But it's like that. They're doing some special for the 2000th episode or whatever. I don't think it's going to be like canon or anything.
Okay. I mean, what is canon? Toku, all of Toku's universe now can be summed up. They're all connected in one universe, but also they're not. I don't think they can decide, because they're not supposed to be. Because they literally used to say at the beginning of every Sentai team-up, two teams should never have meet, but they don't say that anymore. I don't think they know what they're doing. So
yeah,
I think that the Celestial Sapiens from Ben 10 are just constantly changing the rules. That's my headcanon. Alien X's are canon to every universe. Okay. Well, speaking of nonsense toku, Ghost.
What the fuck is this show doing?
What is
all
the endgame?
All of a sudden, we're moving into an endgame where they're trying to take over the world with contact lenses. Where did this go?
Clear eyes. Bueller.
Like... Ben Stein actually is the final villain of Ghost.
He's been Adele this whole time. He's Mr. Gonmizer. He's Mr. Snow.
So, this Demia thing has popped up sporadically throughout the course of the show. In the, by that I mean, Igor has said the word Demia occasionally. Because we literally knew nothing about it other than...
It's a word.
Steve Bills or whatever the fuck his name is. I called him Bill Job the other time.
Bill Job? That sounds like... I'm picturing something in my head right now. I don't want to describe it, but I'm afraid I'm going to.
We had this whole sexual conversation about the concept of Bill Jobs, and his name is Steve Bills. I just fucked it up hardcore.
Jesus. I'm picturing it now, and it's happening. It's so unsanitary.
But, regardless, okay, the things that we've known is that Igor was doing something.
Something, look it this way, come.
With Bills' company, and...
Bills!
It was called Demia. That was all we knew, if I remember correctly. And then it's episode 43 and 44. And then just all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Demia is these contact lenses. They connect you to something. It's like having the internet in your eyeball. It's like Google Glass if Google Glass was a contact lens. And... I don't, how did they get this from Ghost? Like, this is supposed to be a show about historical people and like, spooky things. How did we get here? How did we get to...
Apparently they decided to run with the eye concept instead of the ghost concept.
Oh, God. And... Okay, so ignoring the... taking over the world with contact lenses for a little bit. Makoto, his clone Koto, if you will,
he's the Ganmizers, isn't he? All I remember is that there was a scene with Adele, and he's like, I created him, and then a bunch of Makotos was around him, and I feel like there was maniacal laughter. It might have been me going mad, but that's all I remember. And then, like, he defeated him, and, like, then he collapsed, and then he's like, soon I'll be you. I'm you, and you are me. And then Carter showed up, and he's like, Detective, you? And then he's like, Carter, what is the spell of the W?
Because they all merged into each other, and then he just said, I'm the real one, and then that was done, and he didn't show up again throughout episode 44. So I'm not sure.
I don't know what's going on at all.
I don't understand this show. Dawson, help me.
I don't even remember why Adele showed up at the end and did a Jesus routine, and then, like, I don't...
Because they broke the server.
Is it a hacking show now?
The contact lenses were all connected to this server, and so they were sucking in all the souls.
Super serverizer.
To use as fuel or whatever, and then they broke it, and then Adele popped up and was like, oh, well, no.
There was, like, dialogue I didn't understand where the old guy was like, originally we're going to use them as fuel, but now he's going to take over the world. I'm like, wait, what? Or, like, originally we're going to use them as fuel, but now we're going to use them as fuel. I'm like, wait, that's the same plan. I don't... Wait. Like, what... I think the bottom line is here, there's going to be a big battle, and Ghost is going to win. And then we're going to go for video games.
Can we just start the video games? Can we skip this, please?
I kind of want to remain in the phase where that seems hopeful, because I feel like it's going to let me down, too.
Maybe. But...
Can we just live in the honeymoon phase of this toy scans forever?
Please? I don't understand. So... And, okay, the old guy... Like, what is his personality?
I still don't know why he decided to pretend to be two different people.
Is he crazy? Is he serious? Does he need that cane to walk? I don't know which one is the real him.
If for, like, 80% of the show, they never saw him in his general outfit, why was there a need for the different outfits? That's, like, I don't understand any of it. And, oh shit, what was I just thinking of? There's something else that... Oh, this entire... Whatever they were trying to accomplish in this two-parter could have been accomplished without that kid. And, like, the weird singing. It was like they wrapped a filler up around a plot episode, sort of. It's like... It seemed so Ghost, though, that, like, we're still doing, like, story of the week stuff. So
the other day Kevin texted me. He said, I watched last week's Ghost and I'm just wondering what the hell am I watching? And I said, the plot has become taking over the world via contacts. And he said, I'm so confused. And what even is Spectre? And why does Edith have DID?
And, like, this is how I felt. I felt this confused a few weeks ago when we had, like, the monkey episode, where it was, like, it didn't help that I was kind of working on other stuff and earshotting it, but, like, in a way that made the confusion more clear, because, like, I would look over and there was, like, people dressed as Robin Hood and fantasy characters, and then I would look away again and come back because I heard Planet of the Apes sound effects, and it was, like, I feel like that episode summed up my confusion with the show. Don't know. And I'm honestly kind of looking forward to our wrap up, because it's basically going to be like this, where we just say stuff and then just sort of make confused noises. Because I'm definitely going to talk a lot about this, and it's not even going to be talking about analysis of the character. It's going to be analysis of what the hell happened, of the confusing treatment of both Spectre and Necrom. Because Spectre basically was kidnapped three times, like he lived out three Taken movies, and then now has clones for like no reason. And then, like what we mentioned last week, Necrom just turned good and got a sweater. And they're so done with him at this point that they decided to just have Onari possess him, which was just obnoxious. I mean, I did find him cleaning his body up mildly amusing, because for some reason his body had a smile on its face when he was cleaning himself up. But I thought it was going to get weird there for a second.
But Kevin also said at one point, I liked when they all told Onari to go away.
I like how when he was carrying his body on his back and he like flicked him off to transform, how he like perfectly landed with his head cradled on his hand, when in reality he would have snapped back and his skull would have been cracked. That's like that motion. Instead he just like lied peacefully down like a princess. It was like, Jesus. Oh my god.
Ghost can just be simply classified as what even is this show?
It is. It's like the Gotham of Toku.
What even is Ghost?
My friend was asking me the other day, he says, have you heard of that show Gotham? And I said, what even is Gotham? And he's like, dude, it's the city Batman lives in. I'm like... But what even is Gotham? And he's like, how do you not know this? And I'm like, You don't understand the bit. The show's just so, I don't, what even is it? And like, I just had to stop the conversation because he was getting like alarmed. I think he thought I had a disease or something. Because I'm like, I'll literally just ask random people, what even is Gotham? I mean, I never get an answer, but I'm hoping one day someone will tell me.
Someday.
So. Yeah. Nope. Next week we'll have three times the confusion because Besties Forever is going to be there. It's like the most amazing episode to return to.
Can we just skip to like 18, 19, and 20 and call it a day?
Really? Can we just have another country air the final episode so we can know just anything? Just like, is Talon going to be in the last minute? That's all we really want to know. That can be part of that line of figures they forgot Talon. I don't know why it never happened. So, yeah. I guess now it's time for
Ramble time.
So, Pokemon was about Ash losing to Piero, or whatever his name is.
Trevor?
I just made it up.
No, it's not Trevor. Sawyer.
Oh, okay. Still, neither is he close to Piero.
Trevor's the other dude that's with Tierno and Shauna.
For some reason, Trevor seemed like even more comedically not close to Piero. I just think it's because of the French setting. I don't know. It's funny because I feel like if Ash could have gone full Askren Ninja, he probably would have won, which is proven by the fact that he beats him in the tournament. Spoilers. But I also think he could have beat him if he wasn't. I ruined the intricate plot of the anime. But I also feel that he probably could have beat him if he wasn't focusing on trying to do Askren Ninja.
Yeah, I think that's why it didn't work.
And I try to like pull off moves, and I could totally just be finishing this boss battle if I was just fighting normal and not trying to be fancy.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much what it was like. So, yeah. I still really think that Sawyer, as a rookie rival, is handled so much better than Trip. It's not even funny.
I like how he shows up and is just like, oh, I got my 8th badge. I was just like, what?
Like, well, you know, if you don't stop and help everybody you speak to, you can get there pretty quick. So, yeah, he won. And that was pretty much the episode. It was just a battle, and Ash was like, oh, why didn't it work? And that was a thing. I wonder, I'm honestly, like, is it tomorrow or the episode airs? I'm honestly curious if Ash is going to win or not.
Yeah,
this is the first time I've actually been in suspense.
Like, they'll probably be up by Friday. So, and that will be Thursday here, so. We'll know tomorrow, probably. I hope it concludes, because I really want to know.
Yeah, like, I want him to win, just because I feel like if he does, then it'll be a good clue that maybe that, like, a low-end story we talked about might happen. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's never been where I've actually questioned it before, because usually, I think the farthest he got before was, like, top four. I think it was in Sinnoh or something. So, yeah. And he didn't even bring anybody back this time. Just Greninja and all of his birds. So, I'm curious to see what they do, because they have, what, roughly 2 months-ish? More, maybe 2.5, roughly, of episodes to fill out before we get Gen 7 stuff.
I don't know what they're going to do.
It's not nearly as much time as they had with Black and White.
I was like, oh, they're going to probably pad out the league because they're focusing on, like, Tierno and Trevor and Alon and Sawyer and Ash all at the same time. And then they just simultaneously made them all fight each other instantaneously.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, there goes their padding.
Because I'm always really curious around this time, because, like, Black and White had a lot more. They had the full-on in Unova and Beyond because they actually had, for shitty as they were most of the time, they had a pretty good pacing. They've clipped through the gym battles a lot quicker. So we don't have quite as big of a gap to fill. But still, I'm kind of curious what they'll fill it with. Considering, I can't remember, did they wrap up the Zygarde stuff in the Japanese run yet?
No, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, probably. It'll be that, and then you'll have, like, the goodbye episode for, like, these two, and then, like, hopefully, like, in my sad, pitiful existence, the thing I look forward to most is, like, the episode where we get to see Ash's Pokemon at the Oak Ranch or whatever it is. Like, that's really my life, honestly, is I watch hundreds of episodes in the run of a generation just to see Ash's Pokemon again at the very end. Which we got, like, cheated out of at the end of Sinnoh.
Yeah, well,
he just ran up to Pallet Town, and the next thing you know, he's been brainwashed. So, like, I had a pseudo conversation a couple weeks ago about the anime. It wasn't like an in-depth one. It was like someone who hadn't watched it in a while, and I was thinking, like, you know, if they're gonna keep this whole running line, it's almost sounds like a shallow pokey fapping thing, but like they could throw the people that have been watching this long a little bit of a bone every now and then. And I'm not even talking about like, oh hey, here's just a cameo from a Pokemon, but like characters or plot threads or something. It's like we've been running a long time. Like, you gotta reward the 10 people that are still watching. Like, I'm still surprised they never brought May back.
Yeah, especially with Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. Perfect timing. Yeah. Come on. You brought Dawn back at one point.
Really? Honestly, so it's just kind of frustrating. Throw us a bone every now and then. At least you're gonna keep recycling the same plots, just recycle an actual character back every now and then. I want to know what's going on with Brock. Oh, let's face it, it'll never change.
Nope.
I do hope we get a little preview special here, though. I like that we did that with Black and White and X and Y.
Yeah.
For all, like, network and stuff, that was just fun. So, Pokemon. So, other Pokemon stuff. What was the stuff that we missed, because even our leaks were behind.
Raichu.
Something else?
The little mushroom dude.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think those were the only two.
And then there was like a video of the little coral guy. Coral! Oh my god, I'm gonna catch one and name it Coral. Like, super extended.
The little sea cucumber guy, yeah.
I actually kind of, like, dig him. He has, like, a little fist that comes out of him. It's just kind of cool.
He vomits his organs, which are conveniently shaped like a fist. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I kind of like him. He's quirky.
All right, so, like, just recapping, like, everything, the little mushroom dude is Morlul or Morelul? I don't know.
That's More.
It is a grass fairy type with Illuminate and Effect Spore as abilities. The little sea cucumber guy is Pukumuku, which is an absolutely fun name to say. He is pure water type with the ability Innards Out. It says, Pukumuku has a new ability, Innards Out, which no other Pokemon has had before. With the Innards Out ability, when this Pokemon faints, it will be able to deal one last bit of damage to its opponent, equal to the amount of HP it had left before it received the final blow.
That's pretty useful, cool. It has one HP, but still, like, if it's like a full knockout, that's a pretty cool ability.
Then we also had the new fish, which is Wishy Washy, which is honestly the coolest name. And this is the solo form, a pure water type with the ability Schooling. Wishy Washy has a new ability Schooling, which no Pokemon has previously had. With Schooling, Wishy Washy can change form in battle to their school form under certain conditions. And it doesn't really say what said conditions are. But it's pretty cute. It looks kind of pathetic. And then, like, the school form is just, like, this massive behemoth of death.
And it's pretty badass. It's
legit. Oh, wow.
What?
So, something Wishiwashi... Late? No, Wishiwashi itself is only 0.7 pounds.
What's
the
that?
School form is 173.3 pounds.
Damn, that's a lot of fish.
Just to give you an idea of how many Wishiwashi make up the school form.
Jesus.
So yeah, there's that one. It's a pretty cool gimmick, I think. It's I heard it has to reach a certain level and then it'll be able to do that or some. I don't really know. And then the new Alolan forms, which were Meowth, Dark-type, we talked about that. Right, Marowak, the Fire Ghost, we talked about that one already, too. But the new one was Alolan Raichu, and it's adorable.
And it rides on its tail.
It's so cute. It's Electric Psychic, which I think is just really fucking cool. It says, Raichu and Alola have two types, electric and psychic, and they are able to wield psychic power. What's more, they can gather their psychic power in their tails and then ride on them to float in the air. Even Pokemon researchers don't know why Raichu's form changed in the Alola region. The people of Alola seem unconcerned by the question. Their guess, maybe it ate too many sweet and fluffy round pancakes.
What? I just want pancakes. Thanks.
The Alolan Raichu has a new ability, Surge Surfer, which no other Pokemon's previously had. Was the Surge Surfer ability, the Pokemon's speed will be doubled on electric terrain, which is pretty neat. So yeah, it's really cool. I love it. It's still Raichu, but it's different enough to feel, like, completely fucking new. And I think that's really neat.
They sort of... I don't think they've outright confirmed anything, maybe for Raichu, but, like, alluded to that both Raichu and, I think, Marowak's pre-evolutions don't have a form. Alolan form, I mean. And, like, it kind of bothers me for Cubone, because it doesn't make any sense. Especially since, like, Sandshrew and Vulpix do. Like, because Vulpix is a stone evolution, and Cubone's not, so it makes even less sense. But, like, Raichu, it kind of bothers me if it's true, because I would have loved to see what Pikachu and Pichu look like. But at the same time, I think it's kind of a way to let Raichu have the spotlight for a minute, since he kind of got overshadowed by his, like, middle brother.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's why I was thinking maybe that's why they're doing that. So, even though I would love to see Alolan Pikachu and Pichu, because I was sure they were going to do Pikachu because of how iconic he is, I'm okay with them doing that. But if Cubone doesn't get one, that kind of bothers me because, like, it just doesn't make sense in my head. Speaking of, how the hell is Vulpix going to evolve? Is it still going to be a Firestone?
Probably not.
Ice Stone, it's going to be new. It's going to be a thing.
And then we have Team Skull, the villains. It just says Skull. They even got an S in the shape of a skull. Kamen Rider connection confirmed. Toku is everywhere.
They care about the fans!
It says, in the Alola region, a group of ruffians known as Team Skull cause a lot of trouble. They steal other people's Pokemon. Youths.
My Pokemon were stolen by street youths.
We got Guzma, Plumeria, and just the grunts. It says Guzma is the boss of Team Skull who holds these ruffians together. Guzma pours on the attacks, battling without mercy. He certainly does seem strong, but he claims to be one of those who never could become captains. He seems to have a bone to pick with Professor Kukui as well. Plumeria is considered the big sister of Team Skull. She's a tough lady who keeps Team Skull in line and working together in the same way a strict older sister would. She seems to care for the grunts who are below her in the pecking order, and she's not one to let go if someone's given them a walloping. And
this is the dialogue.
They're wonderful.
1950s? The hell?
Youths. The grunts have to buy their own clothes, apparently. That's important information.
It's very important to the backstory, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there was a set of rumors that popped up. I don't know if... I have to find it.
While you're looking, I was going to say that based on, like, the way Team Skull looks and, like, some of the descriptions, I was wondering if, like, which would be sort of interesting if they were going to have a bit of a different setup than, like, I want to take over the world, if it's, like, you're in, like, almost a turf war with them where you're trying to build the league for Alola, but instead they're trying to, like, take over Alola, like, as a gang, like, almost mafia.
I think that'd be cool.
Like, if it was, like, you're fighting for control of each island or different areas, like, it would make things different and give it a different feel, like a turf war, as opposed to a I'm going to stop you from capturing Pokemon or taking over the world with Pokemon or killing everyone or whatever.
Right.
And it would kind of make it almost a more street level personal thing. I think it would be kind of neat.
The streets.
Pokemon 7, the streets.
I found the list. This is obviously all speculation, but I'm just going to go through the list real quick. Alola is made up of four islands: Mele Mele, Pony, Ula Ula, and
Pony's
Akala. That is, I think that's 100% confirmed at this point. I don't know for sure. Post-game has four island districts that aren't viewable on the map: Akahi Island, Ulua Island, Ikolu Island, and Kalola Island. Kalos is not available post-game, but... oh boy. Humaka Cave on Kalola Island holds a huge Easter egg, I believe. Deep inside, there's a dark entrance guarded by a backpacker that states the railroad is closed for now, and only a Pokemon that emits a special light can ignite the way to the other side. No Pokemon in your party will allow you to enter for now. Rockruff has three evolutions similar to Eevee in Red, Blue, and Yellow. All of them require learning Howl.
George called Salant-
it. Salandit has a split evolution line at level 36, one male and one female. There are 16 Z-Stones, 18 total, with a trial captain for 16 of the types. I called it. Guzma and Plumeria. Guzma and Plumeria are the holders of the missing Dark and Poison Z-Stones. Some Pokemon can change shape or stats after they perform a Z-move. These include Greninja, Solgaleo, Lunala, Marshadow, Espeon, and Umbreon. All 47 Megastones are accessible on the island districts. There are not any new Mega Evolutions. There are a total of 128 new Pokemon and 23 Alolan forms. These Alolan forms are all Gen 1 exclusive Pokemon. Alolan form Pokemon that are capable of Mega Evolving can do so. Alakazam and Kangaskhan are among these. Marshadow, an extremely gorgeous dolphin. It's just Akiko. Has a jewel on its head. And it's... sparkles so bright that it's seen as the emissary of light. Its stats are pretty underwhelming, but it has a cool ability that allows it to have any psychic type combination. The second type is random every time it enters the battlefield. Even switching out causes it to change. The strange souvenir item in X and Y depicts a ghost rock Pokemon from Alola named Girareki. No, Gigareki, my bad. It's a giant tiki, different from the Tapu Pokemon, that has an amazing laughing animation when you battle with it. It is said to be the oldest living Pokemon and seen as a teacher in many ways. There's this random ass NX rumor in here. The NX will be a dual handheld console set for release next year, September 2017. There will be a parent game that features both regions of XY and Sun and Moon exclusive to this console. Rainbow Greninja, the form that Greninja takes after it uses a Z-move will be revealed by the Pokemon Company on August 21st. Alolan Alakazam family are fighting type. Alolan Alakazam can Mega Evolve and keep the fighting type. The Z bracelet is a key item in your backpack. Mm-hmm. Selecting it allows you to place one Mega Stone and one Z Stone inside of it. This allows for more crazy strategies because your Mega Pokemon can now hold items like Rayquaza due to this. The first district you're taken to has a slightly upgraded Battle Mason. One of the districts has a Lugia and Ho, depending on your version. This is a really long rumor list. All champions from previous games are able to be battled on the SSN while they're bored. The SSN brings you to the districts.
Rainbow like, Greninja, like, bored, like, I have nothing to do, or, like, bored yeah, ahead like, on the ship.
Like, bored as in they have nothing to do.
Oh, okay. It's like a pun.
Rainbow Greninja is technically Ash Greninja, but with a name change. It will be revealed in the closing ceremonies of Worlds 2016, which is this weekend. Meowth that knows Happy Hour and with an original trainer of Alola will be distributed at Worlds in a Cherish Ball. And if you add 128 to our existing 721 roster, that means Generation 8 will only need to introduce 151 Pokemon to bring our total count to 1,000.
Damn. Technically, we already have our first Generation 8 Pokemon, the Donald Trump Pokemon, so... Boop, nailed it.
Confirmed.
So I like a good amount of those rumors.
Mm-hmm.
So like basically the Ash Greninja thing is them taking on a form based on the attack, which is okay if that happens. I'm still kind of disappointed by. I really like the idea of synergy evolution, both from like a customization standpoint. And I like the idea of introducing in the anime and, like, Ash sort of almost finding a new form of Mega Evolution. Yeah. And that could be another cool way to bring him to Alola. Like, they're like, oh, man, we've been discovering something like this. Why don't you come over here and, you know, do your thing? So, I don't know. We'll see. When they Mega Evolve, would they keep a different look then?
Yeah, from what I understand.
I hope so. Like, if Alakazam's, like, purple or something, I would hope that he would remain so as Mega Alakazam.
Yeah, because it says it retains its fighting type, so I can't imagine like the current Mega Alakazam to be a fighting type, just because yeah. It looks so sagey.
So there would be a slight new Mega Evolution in that case.
So we'll have to see. There's some of this that I can totally buy. I can buy the Marshadow thing, given the fact that they said that it was supposed to have a really unique type combination. And that sounds very much unique, being able to just be a random type when it pops into battle. I'm kind of interested on the Z-Stones, because that's essentially what I said.
I'm interested in being right.
I mean, basically, I'm kind of selfish there. I don't know. Everything else is kind of here or there. I would not mind most of this being right. I would like to see some new Megas that aren't just redesigns because of the Alolan forms, but I understand. But at the same time, I want more. So,
yeah, like I said last week, I wish they would just keep updating everything, you know? Even if this is like a couple, like maybe two or three or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to make it seem like it wasn't just a gimmick for that gen, and then we're never going to use it again, you know?
Yeah. Or at the very least, if there's a Sun and Moon, like, sequel game, or, like, Eclipse, or whatever they want to do for maybe a third game, which, I mean, we didn't get one for XY, but introduce new Megas that way, or if they do, or like,
Gen 4 Diamond remakes.
Pearl remakes, yeah. Introduce some through there or something, so, I don't know. There's a lot of different things that they could do.
Yeah, I just hope they don't drop it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to erase it, but I mean, like, leave it at the ones we have forever. I still really want that rumor, which I've seen a couple of different places, of the split or the two possible evolutions for the starters to be true.
Yeah.
Partly because it's not like I hate them overall, but I do want something a little bit different. But also, I think that's just a really cool idea. And it seems kind of oddly fitting with a lot of the vibes that Alola is giving off with the whole, like, different forms things can take and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, like, it would just seem kind of oddly fitting for them. I don't know if it's clear whether it's, like, there's two branches, like, the second and third evolutions are different, or if it's just the final ones. But yeah, regardless,
I have no idea.
That's like the main thing I really want to see. Like, I want to see everything, but like, if they just show me the starters, like, I'll shut up for a while, and by a while I'll mean 48 hours. Like, like 24 hours after we get any news, I'm like itching for more news. I'm like,
I'll shut up for like 2 hours at least.
Yeah, it's like, it's been a while since we got any info. You just read the info like 20 minutes ago. Like, I know. So, we're getting, like, some sort of gameplay or something today, which, like, by the time this goes up, whatever news comes out of it will be out, but I'm not sure what we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want more stuff.
Hopefully we learn something from the Gamescon footage, and hopefully we learn something from Worlds. And I hope they're two different things.
Yeah. We'll know, like, whether a lot of these rumors could be true or not if the Astro Ninja thing ends up being real.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, I think that's that.
Yeah.
Good times. Turtles came back this weekend, but Turtle Dude ain't here, so.
Classic Turtle Dude. I don't remember back, like, when Comic-Con and stuff happened. Did we ever talk about the little bit of footage they showed of the Ben 10 reboot?
No.
Mostly because I just wanted to bring. Oh, you didn't?
No.
All right, hold on. Let me find it. It was just like a little clip of like him saving people, and there was also a little. Hold on, let me find. There was also like a little video that was in a different language. That I'll send you both of them. That there was like a small snippet of it shown like on an Instagram account, like months ago. And the full video finally came out. So that's like the little preview clip, which is kind of like of an episode. Let me see. Oops, I did not mean to click on the Teen Wolf opening theme. So this one, like, just is some like small interview snippets and just small intercuts of footage that there was like 5 seconds shown a while ago. Pause for Brian to watch those.
What even is this? I like how happy the people that went down the water slide were when they were in the pool. Huh.
It's a thing.
I don't know what to think about this.
And the other one just shows, like, little snippets.
I think a lot of this will, like, be made clearer when it, like, airs.
Yeah. It's, like, I'm okay with art style. I really don't have any huge problems with it. I think I liked one of the earlier-ish images we got of Ben better, but I don't know why Gwen's voice actress is different. Like, they had two possible voice actresses they could have gotten. They could have gotten the original series one, or I forget the name of her, but that did Gwen in Alien Force, because she ended up doing younger Gwen as well during the Omniverse sections of younger Gwen instead of bringing back whoever in the hell did her. So, like, I don't know why they couldn't get either one of those. It kind of reminds me of, like, why you couldn't get Steve Blum, because he's, like, in everything animated that's ever happened. Yeah. And then when they got him back to be Vilgax, but not Heat Blast, whatever. I'm over it, but not really. I'm always mad about it. But I'm still, like, slightly worried it's going to be Teen Titans Go, but with Ben 10. But we'll see. Like, I'm still looking forward to, like, the toys and stuff coming back, because not only just reviews, but, like, I love getting new alien designs. One, like, nitpick is one of my weird little favorite things was the noise that Diamond Head's powers make in the original series. Like, when he would move and when he would, like, project them, it had this cool crystal sound. And they got rid of it in the Alien Force or Ultimate Alien era. And then they brought it back in Omniverse, and now, like, it looks like he has ice powers. And, like, yeah, there's no sound to
it. That's honestly what it kind of looked like from here.
So, that was a little bit disappointing, but I don't know. I'm remaining cautiously optimistic. So, we'll see.
That's about all.
But they basically confirmed, I think it was in, confirmed in the second video, like, in the little interviews, that it's just going to be perpetual summer. Like, always, the whole show is just going to be them. So, yeah. We'll see.
Hashtag television.
Yep. Kids are too dumb to understand. So, I think that's it.
Yeah. I think so.
I don't think anything else aired this week that we any of us watched. We're getting closer, though. We're, like, nearing the end of August, so, like, starting next month, I think mostly the stuff we talk about will be in October, but we're still we're getting into the time now where, like, TV shows are going to start coming back, so we'll have more ramble time. And Samurai Summer Jizuki is back next week. It's like, we kicked those samurai motherfuckers out! Because we ate them. Classic. But, yeah, that's back next week. And TTMF next week. You know how it is.
Yep.
But now it's time for
Final Thingies. MP3. And
Final Thingies!
3P. Send in those Twitter questions. The Keep, Marry, Destroy, or whatever. And all that jazz. You know how it is. Yeah. Yeah, see? Youths.